ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 I'll just recite the Sanskrit. Jivan chavo bhagavatam rirenu na jatu martyo vilapeta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya swasan chavo yastu na veda gandam Jivan chavo bhagavatam rirenum na jatu martyo vilapeta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya svasan chavo yastu na veda gandam Radha Madhava Hari Ki Jai Shri Nithai Gaura Hari Ki Jai Translation A person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat.
The person.
Everyone, please repeat. The more you participate, the more you benefit. The more you give of yourself, the more you get, the more Krishna gives of himself to you. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet
of the Lord's pure devotee
upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced
the aroma of the tulsi leaves
from the lotus feet of the Lord
is also a dead body,
although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. So, according to the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity, the living being, is a spiritual particle of Krishna.
And when the living entity comes in the material world, he is covered by a gross material body and a subtle material body. The gross body is composed of earth, water, fire, air, and space. And the subtle body is composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. So all of our problems come because we identify with the body. Even if we understand theoretically that we're not the body, we may actually psychologically identify with the body. And thus we suffer in so many ways. People who regularly attend classes have heard the statement, "You are not the body." I've been reading the same verse and purport for 3 days. People might think, "I've already heard this. Why do I have to hear this again?" But as Srila Prabhupada says, repetition is necessary for understanding. We've heard it, but have we realized it? So if we actually realize just that one statement that I'm not the body, there would be a total revolution in our lives. So much of what we do is based on the conception of the body. Although we know in theory, we may know in theory that I'm not the body. So you have to hear again and again until it actually sinks in. And then our life will change. So when at the time of death, the living entity leaves the gross body in the subtle body, and that subtle body, the Bhagavad Gita explains, it carries its conception of life like the air carries an aroma. And that conception of life will carry us into our next body. But whatever body we get in the material world, we will have to suffer. There are different types of suffering. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita mentions birth, death, old age, and disease. These are problems that we all face, and we cannot escape. We may think that we are making progress in medicine, but the fact is that we are unable to stop disease or any of these miseries by material means. If we were actually curing disease, then the hospitals would be closing down. The doctors would be out of work, the nurses would be out of work. But to the contrary, we find demand for more hospitals, more doctors, more nurses, because disease is not decreasing. It's actually increasing. Old age, we can try to cover it by cosmetic surgeries or whatever, but we cannot stop old age, and certainly we cannot stop death, as sure as death. There is a story about, well, there are probably many, but there's a story about a very wealthy man in America, Walt Disney. And Walt Disney, as I understand, put it in his will that just before he would die, his family or whatever should put him into deep freeze. And his idea was that he would be kept in deep freeze until medicine could discover a cure for the disease that was about to kill him. So what happened was that the family members figured out that there was no certainty as to when there would be a cure, and that in the meantime, they had their inheritance held up because he wasn't dead. So they decided to take him out of the deep freeze so he could die and they could get their inheritance. And we often see, even in apparently, decent families, that when it comes to inheritance, and it doesn't matter how rich or poor the people are, but they want more. And this is all due to the bodily concept of life. At one time, Paul Getty was the richest man in the world, and some reporters asked him, can you tell us your philosophy of life in one word? And he said, yes. More. That was his philosophy of life, more. That means he was dissatisfied. He didn't have enough, or he felt he didn't have enough, so he wanted more. That means he was actually poor. See, he felt he didn't have enough, he wanted more. And they asked him, you're the richest man in the world, you have, money to buy whatever you want, to do whatever you want, to go wherever you want. When you're all alone and you have nothing else to do, what do you think about? And he replied, I think about how to pay the bills. Just like any of us. His bill might be, how to come up with $2 billion more dollars to acquire some company, and our bill might be how to come up with $200 to cover whatever we want. But it's the same. And therefore, this chapter of the Bhagavatam, which I, maybe some other time we'll speak on that verse, basically the verse says that people who do not glorify the pastimes of the Lord are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And people who praise them are smaller animals. The small animals are eulogizing the big animals. And the ordinary conversation, the news media, everything is full of, the news of animals. And according to Vedic knowledge, anyone who identifies with the body is an animal. Say, the Gokara, anyone who identifies with the body is an animal. And so, Dvipadapasu, the two-legged animal. So the whole society is basically these two-legged animals. And so there's no peace. Srila Prabhupada said, if you take a bunch of animals and put them into a posh hall and tell them to sit down and make peace, will they be able to make peace? No. Why? Because they're animals. So that's what we have in the United Nations, for example, is all animals. So they may have a very posh hall and nice chairs and translation into various languages, but animals, there's no peace. So this one point that we're not the body is revolutionary. I mean, it can cause a revolution in our lives, and it can cause a revolution in the lives of the people of the world, in the culture of the world. So, in order to make our theoretical knowledge realized, we should repeat the knowledge. It's a very simple process in a way. But when you repeat something, you get realization of what you're saying. Like one of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples had read that the moon was created by the churning of the ocean of milk, which seemed fantastic to her, and she asked Srila Prabhupada, what does it mean? So he said, just repeat. The moon is churned from the ocean of milk. Then he asked her again, repeat it, and again, repeat it. So she repeated it several times. And then he said, now do you understand? And she said, yes. The moon is churned from the ocean of milk. So by repeating our knowledge, by repeating what we've heard, we get realization. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, Amar avyai guru hai tare desh, jare deke tari kaha Krishna upadesha.
that everyone should become a teacher, a guru, an instructor. How? Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you just repeat the message of Krishna. And it's actually very simple. And if you do it, you get tremendous results. I mean, that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He just repeated the message as he received it, the message of Krishna, as received in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, received through parampara, through his spiritual master. He repeated it. And he compared himself to a peon, a postal peon, a postman. That the job of the postman is very easy. He just has to deliver the envelope. Personally, the postman may be relatively poor, but he can deliver you an envelope with $1 million. And you will be very grateful. So we may be whatever we are, but if we present the message of Krishna, which is so valuable, then people will appreciate it, and Krishna will be pleased, and our hearts will be cleansed. So, given that all of you have been here before, we take it that you've heard the message before, but now it is a matter of really taking it into your heart and receiving it fully and acting upon it. And then you will come again and again and again and again, because you'll want to be in that environment. Just imagine if you had to live in a house or in a neighborhood or in a city where almost everyone was an animal. Would you feel very comfortable? No. That's, frankly speaking, that's the situation. So when you actually awaken your spiritual consciousness and understand the higher values of life, then you'll want to associate with like-minded people and associate with them, speak with them, chant with them, discuss with them, serve with them, and that will be your natural element. And it is a sign of advancement to feel attached to that association and to feel uncomfortable with people who are too materialistic. And then that will lead us to seek out the association of devotees. Yes, we may have our studies, we may have our work, we may have to associate with ordinary people in the workplace. But our real relationships should be with devotees, and we should seek out that place where we can find devotees who are chanting and hearing the messages of Godhead. And then we will see a revolution in consciousness. And whenever we have time, we should chant Hare Krishna, we should read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gave an example that, well, this may not suit the climate in Arizona, but there are some climates where people grow rice. And so the rice field has to be flooded with water. And when the field is flooded with water, the rice grows and no weeds can grow. The two are accomplished by that water. And if somehow that water is drained out, the rice will become weak and the weeds will grow and become strong. So our consciousness is like that paddy field. So our consciousness always has to be flooded with Krishna in the form of his holy name, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia associated with Krishna. And that will both nourish our spiritual consciousness and prevent weeds of material desire from growing. And if we allow that water to drain out, then our Krishna consciousness will become weak and the weeds of material desires will become prominent. So that Krishna consciousness can be achieved in the association of devotees. We cannot be Krishna conscious alone. It can be achieved in the association of devotees, and therefore we have temples like this, we have venues where devotees meet and keep their consciousness flooded with Krishna. And again, by approaching people, yarite kai ka Krishna upadesh, by repeating the message of Krishna, they can also come into the association. And that will make them happy. And that is our desire, that was Srila Prabhupada's desire, that people should be happy. Srila Prabhupada, it was like just about 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada left India almost at the age of 70 years and came to America by steamship, cargo carrier. And before leaving India, Srila Prabhupada was staying in Bombay, in Andheri. He had arranged for Srimati Sumati Morarji, the chairman of this India Steam Navigation Company, to provide him a free passage on one of her cargo carriers. And so one of her staff was sort of joking with Srila Prabhupada that, why do you want to go to America at such an old age? He said, I know why you want to go. You want to go
go to enjoy there. Everyone wants to go to America to enjoy. And Srila Prabhupada replied, of course the man was joking, but Srila Prabhupada was serious. Srila Prabhupada replied, what have I got to enjoy at this stage? But there is a generation of frustrated youth, and so I want to go and do something for them that they can be happy. And so that was us for whom Srila Prabhupada came. Now, after 50 years, we were used to them. Now we're almost as old as Srila Prabhupada was when he came. Some are even a little older. But he did exactly what he set out to do, to save us from that life and give us happiness, give us the process by which we could become happy. And of course there were many from our generation. In, I guess it must have been 1969 was the Woodstock Festival in Woodstock, New York. Like a lot of young people went, and it was like a music festival. And so 25 years later, I was in a dentist's office, although I was living in India. But I would get my... I had an uncle in Chicago who was a dentist, so I would come and have my dental work done by him. At that time, the dental facilities in India weren't that developed. So, as I was waiting in his office, I saw this issue of Life magazine. And the featured story was 25 years after Woodstock. And so they had interviewed 100 people who had been at the Woodstock Festival. And, you know, had like a little paragraph about each one, you know, what they're doing now and what their thoughts about Woodstock were. And in probably at least 90 of the 100 had become regular materialistic people. You know, that they thought, oh, it was just something we did in our youth. Now, you know, whatever, bank executives or whatever, just regular materialistic people. That was maybe 92. And then up the other 8 were like, almost all of them were sort of like overgrown hippies. In other words, it's like the 90% were, what they wrote made sense, but it only made sense on the material platform. There was nothing spiritual. And then, say, the other 10, I won't go into detail, but they had some ideals, but they were sort of wacky. Means like crazy, like unrealistic, impractical. And I was thinking that how amazing it is what Srila Prabhupada did, that after 25 years, and now it's, you know, for some of us it's almost 50 years, that we could still have the idealism that we had in our youth. You know, finding real happiness, doing good for others, doing good for the world. but without being wacky, you know, but with very solid philosophy and practical results. So what Srila Prabhupada did is unprecedented. It was never done before, and it will never be done. Again, we can continue what he did, but crossing the ocean and introducing Krishna consciousness, he alone did that, and we are the beneficiaries. We have benefited from that. So we should first accept the transcendental gift that is given us, and then share it with others. Or that is part of receiving the transcendental gift, is sharing it with others. As Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master told him, that the same thing, you should just repeat the message of Krishna, and that will be good for you and for the people who hear you, and for the people who help you. So there's nothing new, we're not manufacturing anything new, we're just repeating the same message, continuing the same activity, and we can experience the results individually and collectively. And you don't miss this opportunity. That's my humble prayer. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Asking how we help each other. You're saying that when you feel alone, it's hard to grow? Is that what you said? I couldn't follow that. A prema dakshi?
I feel a need. I feel like if I were alone, living somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We can help each other by taking care of each other in all respects, although we're not the body, and certainly the most important aspect of life is the spiritual aspect. But we have bodies and we have minds, and so to fully serve a devotee, a person, we should help them in all aspects of their life to our capacity, so that they can progress in Krishna consciousness. And mainly spiritually, but other aspects too. So like if someone, of course, in a sense, I do kriya pratyata, devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. But still, you know, if someone's sick, Srila Prabhupada said we should be sympathetic. If someone is sick, we should try to help them. Or if someone's disturbed in their mind, we should try to help them. And the temples are meant to be places where we can find that association. But we also go out and extend ourselves. The whole thing is to give, like Srila Prabhupada is giving, 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 giving. He even said his motto was everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. And therefore, I never complain, because my motto was always everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. So in that mood, we can follow Srila Prabhupada's example and help others. So
other questions? And the children, the Bhagavatam says that no one should become a mother or a father unless they can deliver their child from the repetition of birth and death. Mm-hmm. Not like animals, just breed offspring and then get them educated materially, make them successful materially, and then they die like animals. But it's the parents' responsibility to see that the children are never forced to take birth again. And so Srila Prabhupada is a very responsible position, and husband also. Husband is supposed to make sure that the wife never takes birth again. Okay. So we have to be very mindful of the children, and we should have facilities whereby the children can be educated in Krishna consciousness, engage in devotional activities, have devotional teachers, devotional friends. It's a very important aspect. And we have a lot of children, and we're having more. So we take it very seriously. Some people homeschool their children. Some devotees homeschool their children. But now, you know, a lot of the women work. But whatever it is, somehow or other, the children have to get that example at home from the parents. And whenever they have time, associate with other devotees, devotee children, and engage in spiritual activities. It's very easy to get caught up in the waves of materialistic life. And really the only thing that will protect us from getting swept away is the association of devotees, serious devotees, sincere devotees. And yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Is there a difference worshipping gods in formless and in form?
Is there a difference between worshipping God with form or without form?
Yeah.
How would you worship God without form?
Some religions do have it.
They say, yeah, but how? How do you do that? Actually, there are different Sanskrit words, saguna and nirguna. But the idea is that God. There's a point that God has no material qualities. If you think that God, Krishna, has material qualities, then that's wrong. But to think that he has no qualities, like no name, no form, that's also wrong. Because he has spiritual qualities. The other day we discussed Krishna's 64 qualities. They're spiritual qualities.
So the impersonal idea that God has no name, he has no form, he has no qualities, it's like a negation of the material, but it's nothing positive, which is spiritual. And so Krishna consciousness goes beyond those speculations, and it gives a positive presentation that, yes, here is God. He has name, but it's spiritual. He has qualities, but it's spiritual. He has activities, but it's spiritual. And that worship can give you satisfaction and pleasure. Worshipping something without form, there's no satisfaction in it. And people who do it, they don't really stick to it, generally. So, does that answer your question? Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, mamcha yogya vicharine bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samachitaityam brahma bhuyaya kavate, that one who engages in undeviating devotional service, sagunam samachitaityam, he transcends the gunas of material nature, and Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, he comes to the platform of Brahma. That's by bhakti, that comes from bhakti. And on that, Krishna is the supreme Brahma. So to properly serve Krishna, we have to come to the Brahman platform. And that's by Abhyavicharini Bhakti. Undivided, undeviating, not. That was a good question.